Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 28, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. And what follows, Psalter 28, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Micah 7. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Micah 7. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, as so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that the walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding the land shall be desolate, because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doings. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. The nation shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth. Their ear shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and the mercy to Abraham, which thou wast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. We hope to remember in prayer Miranda Vandenberg, who remains in the hospital in Cleveland. Mr. Johan Klock, who remains in Spain for recovery. And Mr. Jake van Leer, who was taken to the hospital in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. A merciful God of the heavens and of all the earth, then how good thou wast been, and how good thou art in this morning, that in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life, which are most perfectly known unto thee, that thou wast spared the whole congregation, from the youngest to the oldest, and that in this morning hour, this beautiful spring day, where thou wast granted that the sun may arise once more, that thou wast not dealt according as we deserve, but thou wast so done the opposite, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and were as the living and that great God, that thou still profferest peace and pardon unto us and our dear children, as we hasten to that never-ending eternity, because for each and every one of us, we have come another week closer to that final meeting with our Maker, as thou wast given another day of grace, and our Lord, then may it please thee to grant it, what we have heard from the prophet of old, and what a fitting question and meditation that is for us and our children. Who is a God like unto thee? A God who also in the past week has continued day and night, and that the seasons may run their course, where thou wast yet watched over this world, thou hast prevented all the nations from destroying one another. Oh, who is a God like unto thee? Where in the past week, notwithstanding all our sins and iniquities, and also our unthankfulness, that thou wast crowned the earth yet with thy mercies, and that thou wast left many precious things amongst us and our children, that thou yet granteth a home, food and drink, that there may be love in the midst of us. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, who notwithstanding all our sins, in thy patient long suffering, has yet granted so many blessings, but, O Lord, who is a God like unto thee? May we be given to examine each of our hearts, how it has been in that respect, how much thou hast been in our thoughts and in our prayers, and how it has been with that God in this morning hour, also when we have come up to thy house. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, who not only in thy wonderful providence still upholds this earth, and that is for a purpose, because thou art a God that art still gathering thy chosen church unto thyself. Thy dear Son sitteth at thy right hand, where he is active for the welfare of thy church. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, O Lord? Then it is thy work, the work of thy Spirit, to make room for that great God, in our little heart, and that we become so exercised, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and that delighteth in mercy, O Lord. It is written in thy word that thou art waiting to be gracious, but, O Lord, it is the work of the Spirit. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant a special morning, that thy word may be blessed, that that great God may become real in the life of the unconverted, and that with amazement and astonishment, that it shall become the question, who is a God like unto thee, and a God against whom we have transgressed so greatly, and that we need the pardoning of our sins, O Lord. May it please thee to convert the unconverted, and where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant the further leadings. We have read of those further leadings in thy word of a people that was given to bear the indignation of the Lord, till thou would please plead their cause and bring them to the light, and show forth thy righteousness in the past weeks. We have commemorated by renewal the glorious resurrection of thy dear Son, that he is risen indeed. Ah, Lord, may that be evident in this morning in a special way for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We also commend the branch unto thee. Wilt thou remember the readers in this day? Wilt thou stand on their right and on their left? And wilt thou be their helper ever near? And that thy word may be blessed. Then we commend unto thee all the sick and afflicted ones, the daughter with her parents in a faraway hospital. Thou hast given a little improvement, but it is going slowly, O Lord. Wilt thou remember them in a special way, that they become not too dejected? May their eyes be upon thee, and may they be given to experience who is a God like unto thee. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening, and above all to be given to experience who is a God like unto thee, who oftentimes uses trials and afflictions for the saving of souls. Remember the young father with his wife and children, also in a faraway country. Then thou hast been a wonder doing God, then also in his life, in their life, that it has become true who is a God like unto thee, when it pleaseth thee to so remarkably bless the means. Wilt thou grant further healing and strengthening? But, O Lord, may it be, as we read of that lame man in thy word, when he was healed, he was given to jump and leap, but he was also given to praise his God. May this affliction be used to that end. We commend unto thee the father who was taken to the hospital. Thou knowest the concerns. May the means be blessed. We commend him unto thee together with his wife, for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember all the afflicted, all under the physician's care, all those that need healing and strengthening? wilt, O grant a prayer for one another. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, and orphans, and those that have brought loved dear ones to the cemetery. Then we commend unto thee two widowers, one in this day, who may commemorate his first birthday as a widower, O Lord. Do uphold him and remember him with that large empty place. And later in the week, another widower, already for so many times, and now another birthday as a widower, wilt thou also remember him. And our Lord, in our family circles, when there are no empty places, may we be given to see it, that there is no God like unto thee. Thou art so free and so sovereign, and then thou still maketh a difference where there is no difference. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help. Thy word is open before us, but then it is needful that thou doth open it by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit. We have read together a very rich chapter, profound things. And to that end, may thy word go forth with power divine. Remember those that could not come up to thy house lawfully hindered. When they may listen along, wilt thou also grant them a blessing. May so our eyes be upon thee, and may it truly be experienced, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, who retaineth not his anger forever. O wonder-doing God, wilt thou perform wonders amongst us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 264, the first five stanzas. Come, let us sing before the Lord new songs of praise with sweet accord. For wonders great by him are done. His mighty arm has victory won. And what follows? Psalter 264, the first five stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Micah 7, the verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Our text words speak of who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity. With four thoughts, in the first place, the depth of this question concerning pardoning. Secondly, the remnant of his heritage who are pardoned. Thirdly, the attributes harmonized in this pardoning. And in the fourth place, the extent of this pardoning. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? The depth of this question, the remnant of his heritage, the attributes harmonized, and the extent of this pardoning. Thus first, the depth of this question concerning pardoning. Beloved congregation, on Easter evening, we have tried to say a few words concerning the rich doxology of Peter in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, thanks be unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In our text, then we may have, as it were, a song of praise and also a doxology concerning the great God. In the Old Testament, the work of a triune God is clearly declared and explained, and in the New Testament, then it has become clear. Our text words have been taken from the prophet Micah, and his name means who is like unto God. And he is prophesied in the time of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah in the years 756 through 697 before the birth of Christ. How many of those years he has prophesied is not declared. There is not much written about the prophet. We only read that he has lived or was born in the town of Moresheth, about 40 kilometers southwest of Jerusalem. And then the Lord has raised this prophet to warn of the sins of social injustice. He stresses true worship, and warns against false confidence. Then this book can be divided into three parts. The first two chapters, the chapters 3 through 5, and the chapters 6 and 7 were in each part. Then there is proclaimed by the prophet in the name of the Lord the judgments of the Lord that would come when that people would refuse to repent. But then also in each section, then there is spoken of the promises of God for His church. And so also in our chapter that belongs to the last portion, then also in this last chapter, then we have heard the same. And then in the first 6 verses, the sad condition of the church. And then in the first verse, then the prophet is given to open his heart a little, the desire of the true church. And then in those times, woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desireth the first ripe fruit. As boys and girls, then the prophet is comparing himself to the time when the trees have been harvested, still a few fruits, but they are old and shriveled up. And then the prophet and the church can have those desires for those first ripe fruits. When the first fruit becomes ripe and we may pick one off a tree, then how sweet they taste. And the Lord has a people that knows of the taste of those first fruits. When that may take place, then we are ruined for the world. Although the world and the devil shall not leave us alone. And then further in the first 6 verses, then the prophet is given to describe the dismal condition of the country. And the prophet Micah, he was given to especially prophesy against the two capitals of the two kingdoms of Jerusalem and Samaria, but therein including all the people of the two nations. And then he continues with the exercises of the true church. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. And then in the further verses, then the prophet is given to declare the leadings of the church of God also concerning the pardoning of their transgressions. And then in verse 13, then because of their sins, then the land would become desolate, that people would be sent into captivity. And then in verse 14, it is the prayer of the church, feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, with which dwelt solitarily in the wood. And then in the verses 15 through 17, there is an answer upon that prayer, and that the Lord would do such an astonishing and such a wonderful work that when the nations of the world have heard it, that they would become small, they would be given to see, this is the doing of the mighty God of Israel. Oh, was it not so in the New Testament church, after the resurrection of Christ, and on the day of Pentecost, and when the apostles were sent forth to proclaim the everlasting gospel as it is in Jesus Christ, And then many were astonished all on the day of Pentecost. Then they have asked concerning those things. Then the name of the Lord was glorified. And now concerning those wonderful works, then the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then he is given to end in holy adoration and in praise. And then he closes with a doxology. And then he asks a very profound question. Who is a God like unto thee? Have we become exercised with that question, congregation? In the past weeks, in the past week, have there also been moments that we have said, O Lord, who is a God like unto thee? And then we only have to, boys and girls, look at creation, look at the seasons, day and night, the sun, the moon, the Lord granting health and strength insofar that it pleases him, food and drink, a home, and Psalm 40 verse 5, the psalmist has said that they could not be numbered. Oh, then what a fitting question. Who is a God like unto thee? And then to consider what we deserve because of our sins and our transgressions, our unthankfulness. Who is a God like unto thee that is so patient and so long-suffering, that punishes me not as I deserve, that executeth not as justice, but that in thy forbearance I may still have a place upon the earth where thou art gathering thy church, who is a God like unto thee, where the Lord makes such a great difference, where there is no difference, because we read in Romans 3 verse 23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who is a God like unto thee? Do we ever become small, congregation, and humble under such a great God? Who is a God like unto thee, but also a God that is so just? We have spoken of the providence of the Lord, and we have different psalms. Think of Psalm 8. How excellent is thy name, O Lord, in all the earth. When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, the work of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Psalm 19, Psalm 104, where the psalmist and many other places, where the psalmist may be given to consider the handiwork of the Lord and given to say, who is a God like unto thee? But now in our text words, and it is already a blessing, that under all the Lord's wonderful works of providence, that we do not only become harder, but that our thoughts are drawn out to that great God with solemn impressions that we need to be reconciled with that God. But now our text words that speak especially, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and that passeth over transgressions. Oh, then in our text words is declared the wonderful work of a triune God. 'Tis declared Good Friday, Easter, and the further steps of Christ's exaltation, how his church may be saved. Who is a God that pardoneth transgression, iniquity, and that passeth over transgression. And then in the context, then our text words also refer, because in verse 15, and that is often the case in the Old Testament, then the church was given to remember according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. And in that context, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant? And concerning that statement, that question, who is like unto thee? Then Moses, after the children of Israel have went through the Red Sea, then Moses has sung, he has taught the children of Israel to sing in Exodus 15, verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And now the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then in his doxology, then he is given to remember the wonders of old, how that the children of Israel were led out by that mighty hand of the Lord, how they went through the Red Sea. So it is also amongst us. Each Lord's Day morning, we may hear the introduction to the law. I am the Lord thy God, which has led thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Does that ever touch his congregation? Do we ever examine? And is it ever turned into a prayer when we are still living in Egypt, that we say, Ach Lord, thou hast the church that thou wast led out by thy mighty hand out of the land of Egypt, and I am still living in Egypt, and maybe not even troubled about the same. Oh, then it seems that I am beginning to resemble a Pharaoh, where my heart is becoming harder and harder. But, Lord, may it then be in this morning hour that with thy mighty hand that thou may lead me out of the land of Egypt, that thou may open my eyes, that I am dwelling in the world, that I am under thy wrath and under thy curse. But, O Lord, who is like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity? Do you hear it, young and old, boys and girls, young and old? Do you hear it? What a rich proclamation. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And I even read in Isaiah 30, verse 18, that the Lord is waiting to be gracious. Oh, what rich matters that the prophet is given to declare, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And to that end, the Lord needed to be triune. Because if God was only singular, then sinners could never be saved with the glorification of his attributes. And then the prophet also says, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant. When we think of the children of Israel, when they have been delivered, then the Passover was instituted. The lamb was set apart. Then the lamb was slain. The blood applied. They have eaten the whole lamb. And then the angel of death is passed over because of the blood of the lamb. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Our text words, three words are mentioned: sin, transgressing the commandments, breaking the law, missing the mark, transgressions that means to trespass, go climb over a fence, make it simple for our boys and girls, and that word iniquity, that means to be twisted, warped, perverted. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? And now in our text words, then a separation is made. That is our second thought. The remnant of his heritage who were pardoned. In the context that speaks of a remnant that was taken into captivity, and the decree was made that the Jewish people may return to their land. But alas, alas, not all returned. There were those that thought Babylon was not so bad, found their life not such a longing for the temple and the worship of the Lord. Thus they have remained in Babylon. Is that our picture, congregation? Oh, then ask that great God of our text, who is a God like unto thee? Because by his Spirit, then he grants new hearts with new desires and new longings. And then that remnant find their life declared in the Scriptures. Also in this chapter, thus a remnant that is a smaller number, although John on the island Patmos was given to behold a number that no man could number, a great multitude, and concerning that remnant of his heritage, Moses has sung thereof in a song in the plains of Moab, in Deuteronomy 32, the verses 9 through 10, for the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. And where did he find that remnant? He found them in a desert land, in a waste howling wilderness. But then the wonders, because who is a God like unto thee? Then he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That is the remnant, the heritage. We read thereof in Psalm 2 verse 8 that Christ has received upon his meritorial work, promised in eternity. Thus that is the remnant of his heritage, by election, by purchase, by regeneration, by choice, and by the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. And now that true remnant. Oh, it is true when the Lord works. And he grants those graces, faith, hope, and love. Then what becomes, oh, they are given to experience that remnant. Who is a God like unto thee? Then that great God becomes real in their life. And they receive a love for that God. And they learn of their sins, transgressions, and iniquities. And they become mourners and weepers. And then they are given to often examine their hearts, whether they now belong to that true remnant. Oh, in verse 14 it speaks of feeding the flock, even if they may know that they are the smallest little lamb of that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not mean they have knowledge of him, but then that remnant becomes exercised, and then they are busy to examine their heart oftentimes, and also in this chapter. Then the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then he has declared the life of that remnant, looking unto the Lord, waiting upon the God of my salvation. That is a praying people. Our God will hear me. And that is a remnant. That have many enemies. The flesh, the devil, and the world. And there are times that it seems that they shall conquer. But then who is a God like unto thee? Because the Lord, he guides, he keeps, he remembers that remnant. He encourages them. He uses his word to strengthen their faith. And there are even times that they become very bold. And in verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, that what the remnant also knows what that is. Not only to walk in darkness, but to sit in darkness. Not time to explain it all. The Lord shall be a light. And the light that is especially the work of the Holy Spirit. Virtue, the meritorial work of Christ, because in John 8, verse 12, Christ is called the light of the world. And then the further leadings. That is what the remnant needs, because they have much to do with their sin, with their transgressions and iniquities. And who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth transgression? And then in verse 9, then we read of the justification of the sinner in the court of conscience. One that is given to bear the indignation of the Lord, but who was brought to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Thus that speaks of Good Friday, but it also speaks of Easter, Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That is the portion of the remnant of his heritage. And now the important question is, I think you know what that is, boys and girls. Do we now belong to that remnant? Do we have to think about it? Or do we know? A remnant that is a smaller portion. And when we think of this dark world, the billions of people, how few are under the truth. But now in the context concerning that returning remnant, then it was people that had the truth, had been under the oracles of God. Then, of course, congregation. And that, of course, is very sad. When we live in the world, with the world, dress like the world, act like the world, then it is very clear that we do not belong to that remnant. But what may still be declared, who is a God like unto thee? When we are self-righteous, can be in different ways. When we are quite satisfied with our life. Not perfect, of course, but under the truth, maybe some impressions. than for the Pharisees. They do not belong to that remnant, because they have not so the need of that pardoning. They have never become the chief of sinners. When we are passive and that we secretly try to blame the Lord, Lord must do it all, that is true. But when that is still our excuse and we can live from week to week, and when we are unconverted, of course, still reformed to say it, but that we secretly think it is the Lord's fault, because who is a God like unto thee, that he is that mighty God that he can pardon and he has not converted me? Thus it is still the Lord's fault. Then for others, I hope there may be many, we read in the Canons of Dort, the first head, the 16th article, those that have profound impressions of that great God, jealous of God's people, earnestly desirous that we may belong to that remnant, then our forefathers have written, not to become overly discouraged, but to persist diligently in the use of means, asking and waiting for a richer season of the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. And now that true remnant, we have said it. There can be so many riddles and so many questions. And what does that remnant now need? When that remnant can rest upon what has taken place without a knowledge of that precious Savior, oh, then that remnant does well to examine themselves, because 'tis the work of the Spirit to bring that remnant to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. Our third thought, the attributes harmonized in this pardoning, let us first sing Psalter 284, the first three stanzas. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless His holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all His mercies, His pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. And what follows, 284, 1, 2, and 3. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? The depth of this question, the remnant of his heritage, and now thirdly, the attributes harmonized in this pardoning. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, based upon the Holy Scriptures, that God, he is an infinite perfect essence, no division, a oneness, and that the attributes cannot even be separated from his essence, and that also in God, that his attributes are all one, but it has pleased the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in giving us the scriptures for our simple understanding that there is a separation. And now concerning, oh, who is a God like unto thee, young and old? Therein lies the richest declared of free and sovereign grace. Therein lies the only hope for us and our dear children. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth transgression, iniquity that passeth over transgression, where Christ is a Savior who merits and who applies. And now the prophet is not given to mention all the Lord's attributes, all necessary for the saving of his church. But then he mentions in our text words too, and in verse 20, the third truth, and then they have all worked together for the saving of his church, of that remnant, for he retaineth not his anger forever, that we have beheld on Mount Calvary with the dear Son of God, where the Father has laid all the sins of that remnant upon his dear Son, and that the anger of his Father has burned, that even the Son has refused to shine, that the Son of God has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then we were given to behold that he retaineth not his anger forever. When Christ is cried out, it is finished, in the seventh crossword, then the veil of the temple was rent, and then we have seen on the morning of the resurrection that the Father has rolled away that stone, as his divine amen, he retaineth his anger not forever. And now that remnant, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they become exercised with that anger, and it is such a holy anger, it is such a just anger. No, the remnant does not desire a different God, but they are given to bow, they are given to weep and to cry, because they read in Jeremiah 31 verse 9 that they shall come with weeping and with supplication. And then that remnant is so busy to appease that anger, and they learn with all their efforts that they are a sinner still, and that the Lord is so just that his justice requires a perfect satisfaction, and that justice must be satisfied, as we read in Lord's Day number 5, by us or by another. But who is a God like unto thee? And then the prophet is given further declared, because he delighteth in mercy. Thomas Watson has declared that we may call the mercy of God God's darling attribute, that he delights in mercy, and that he delights to give that mercy, and that he also has a people that delights in receiving that mercy because of their great need. Oh, who is a great God like unto thee? Do we not read also in the New Testament oftentimes of a church that had need of mercy? Think of the publican in the back of the temple in Luke 18, verse 13. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he has experienced who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity. Think further in Luke 18 of Timaeus, that blind man, where he has cried out, have mercy upon me, O Son of God. And he has also experienced who is a God like unto thee that doeth wondrous things, where he was given to see. Think of the Canaanitish woman in Matthew 15, where she has cried out, have mercy upon me, because my daughter is vexed with the devil. Oh, it was tried, but she has experienced who is a God like unto thee that doeth wondrous things. Oh, for a church that labors with her guilt. Oh, are there such souls in my midst? And then it is declared in our text, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? We have heard it on Thursday evening, that Joseph was given to declare to his brothers, I am Joseph, whom ye have sold. Oh, the wonderful things of the Lord. He delighteth in mercy. And now concerning the attributes of God, then they are glorified, then they are harmonized through the sacrifice, through the meritorial work of his dear Son. Oh, who is a God like unto thee, who pardoneth iniquity, who delighteth in mercy? How that has become evident on the morning of the resurrection, when the resurrected King, with a yearning and a delight to show unto his people his mercy. Oh, think of a Mary Magdalene, the women. Think of a Simon Peter. Oh, think of a Thomas. Oh, it is true. On the evening of the resurrection, he has stayed home from church. We must never do that, boys and girls. But he was so discouraged. But 8 days later, and then Christ, oh, who is a God like unto thee, who delighteth in mercy? Oh, then Jesus has shown him those wounds which with his enemies have pierced him. And then a Thomas was given to delight in that mercy, my Lord and my God. Our last thought, the extent of this pardoning. And that also speaks, who is a God like unto thee? Because then the prophet has spoken, he will turn again. That speaks of a backsliding people. People that ruin everything. It's taking place in the hall of Caiaphas. There is one that has ruined everything, sent everything away. Oh, what Peter has experienced. Who is a God like unto thee that delighteth in mercy? The text was literally fulfilled. We read in our text of a turning. Oh, then Jesus turned and looked at Peter. A look of love, a look of sorrow. He will turn again. Perseverance of the saints. and he will have compassion. Who is a God like unto thee? That the church is given to experience more and more and deeper, but as well, it's true, Spirit also needs to grant it, but it is the work of the Spirit, the life of His children, that the wonder becomes greater, the astonishment more. Who is a God like unto thee that has sought me out, placed that love in my heart, granted those desires, those longings, bowed under the anger of the Lord that is so painful, that is so bitter? And if that anger remains, then to be cast away from the presence of the Lord forever and ever. But who is a God that delighteth in mercy? We read in those verses 7-9 that the church may experience that mercy, but that they need that pardoning to be instructed in the ways of the Lord. How it is possible he will have compassion. And then the second point, he will subdue our iniquities. Separates the precious from the vile. Read thereof in Romans 6, Romans 7 and Romans 6, verse 16, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Who is a God like unto thee? And the true child of God, they are also very exercised. It's true, sanctification. That is also a benefit and blessing that has been merited by Christ and is wrought by the Holy Spirit. But how that people is exercised with that flesh, with that old man, does a holy warfare. We read of their weapons that Christ has merited and given to them in Ephesians 6, the verses 10-18. The subdue, it's not written that they shall be done away with. No, that is a strife till the end of the world. Thomas Watson has written in a certain place that those sins, they may rage, but they may no longer reign. They are subdued and conquered. Who is a God like unto thee? And then the third point. And that is what that remnant desires. That speaks of the assurance of faith, the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. And then the prophet has declared concerning their iniquities, their sins, their transgressions, and thou wilt cast all their sins, not some, not most, but all their sins. Is that your desire, congregation? Are you exercised with your sins? Do they grieve you? Have you learned to weep, cry, because of those sins? And that we sin against him. Who is a God like unto thee that grant us so many blessings? And then the prophet has said, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Does not say into the sea, a shallow sea, but they are cast into the deepest seas. Boys and girls, you can understand it. You're on a boat and you drop something into the sea, a very deep sea, maybe a few kilometers, then it is gone forever. Shall never be retrieved. And that is the example which the prophet uses for his people, that all their sins, oh, how is that possible? Because of Christ. All the waves and billows of God's anger has went over him. And then a profound expression, does the work of the Spirit declared in verse 9, how it is experienced, that means that the Lord shall remember them nevermore, and that because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he has satisfied the justice of his Father, and by the application of the Holy Spirit, read other profound expressions in the Scripture. In Isaiah 43, verse 21, that they are blotted out, that the Lord shall remember them no more. Isaiah 43, verse 25, Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east from the west. And shall it now take place? What the prophet has declared, oh, he was given to sing. Who is a God like unto thee? And to that end, he is clothed with an other attribute. The spoken, who is a God like unto thee? Everything declared in the Scriptures, the way of threatenings and the way of promises, that has and shall take place. And therefore the prophet is closed, thou wilt perform the truth. Everything that is written for that remnant, all the promises, they shall all be fulfilled. Thou shalt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abram, which thou wast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old, who was a God like unto thee. O young and old, when we do not belong to that remnant, bow your knees. Never leave your place unlawfully in church empty, because they shall testify against us and beg the Lord. Oh, tell them, who is a God like unto thee, Lord? Thou art even able to convert a sinner like me. Boys and girls, young people, and even for our elderly ones, understandable that elderly people can become very discouraged, but who is a God like unto thee? And offer that remnant. The life is declared in this chapter, and not to rest till we may receive the pardoning of all our iniquities. All let us close with that invitation of Jeremiah the prophet in chapter 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? then why is the health of my people not healed? And that is only possible what we read in Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Amen. Let us close. Lord, who was able to declare in a short time the fullness of our text, who is a God like unto thee, shall take a whole eternity for thy people to praise thee for thy wonderful works. And, Lord, we humbly ask thee, may that now be experienced in this day by the unconverted and also by thy people, then it would be a good Sabbath day. Well, to watch over us, remember all the sick and afflicted, also the old father who had a heart procedure in this past week. Thou hast helped him through. May it be made a blessing for his body. And remember his soul. Remember him with his dear wife. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83. The stanzas 1 and 2. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of electing an elder. The duo that has been nominated by the consistory is Mr. Peter Niels and Mr. Cornelis van de Bruinhost. Psalter 83, the stanzas 1 and 2. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.